in the beginning, Facebook is now just a feel-good place. But in the end, all this information you put out about yourself, is it can be used. You don't know what's going to happen in exactly. one decade. So it means they have so much on you. So later on, like that's why I said that thing with Joseph Stalin. Later on, I mean, people are just delivering all sorts of information about themselves. So in the end, you don't know, maybe some kind of secret service or whoever he is cooperating with, Google, or they're just monitoring every people. They're spying on all of us. So I mean, in the end, now when they talk about fake news and the truth and like that you were just not admitted to have your page for Malcolm Out Loud, it means that they want to control the world.
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure.
Well, we are definitely in the age of social media. I mean, very few people, I don't think I know anyone in my life who's not on social media to some degree. Some people really embrace it, and probably more than embrace it. But social media is, in many ways, has become the go-to, the gap stop in a lot of people's lives that they utilize to communicate with people. It's created friendships. It's probably created enemies as well. And some people, well, they probably count on it a little too much, for sure. This is Malcolm Out Loud here, and we are on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Our co-host today, Barbara McGee, joins us from Los Angeles, and Iben Tranholm from Denmark. We're going to talk about this Facebook, we're going to start with this Facebook comment that Mark Zuckerberg came out with recently. Now listen. Mark Zuckerberg obviously loves social media, first of all. I mean, let's qualify this. This guy is making billions of dollars on a moment-by-moment basis based on social media. But he said something just recently that got everybody to turn their heads and say, what did he say? What was that again? And he said, you know, a lot of people now need to find a sense of purpose and support somewhere else, was referring to his comparisons to the church. And he started to compare Facebook as a church. And I know he said he quoted some things here. Well, I'll find in just a moment as I'm looking through some of the rhetoric and the conversation he has. He's looking at Facebook as a church that somehow, and the whole thing is sort of, it gives you a pause and makes you stop to say, what is he really saying here? What he's referring to, I guess, or what he was referring to, I'm thinking, is a sense of community. But am I right to say even that, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, did the actual statement Zuckerberg said, did he reference that Facebook was like a church? Is that, I mean, that's what it's being reported in the media.
Yeah, I think he more intended to say that it could be your new church. But, you know, honestly, I don't think that Mark Zuckerberg has ever been to a real church since he can say that, because Facebook is so different from what you find in church. And I get his point with community, but you can get new friends on Facebook, and I met a lot of connections. I wouldn't say friends, but connections and people that I got in contact with, because I mainly use my Facebook site for my professional life. So, you know, actually for me, it is a tool because I have a lot of friends who is linking articles that I could never find myself, or I don't have the time to do it, and we can connect like that. And because I am a debater and a public person, a lot of people write to me. So for me, it is a working tool. But I would say if I only used it for, you know, private matters, I would be really worried about my life. I mean, if that was a sort of community for me as a private person.
Yeah, I think I know what you're saying, because people are saying far too much on social media. I mean, I've been reporting on this for years even. I mean, they're saying all kinds of things. I mean, listen, there are bad people on the social media looking for unsuspected folks. There are, we've even seen stories even where bill collectors are on there searching for you, or people that say too much, or the bad cats who want to burglarize your home one evening, or they're looking for unsuspecting characters. But I never understood even how some people get on there and they share like everything. Now, I'm not talking just like what they had for lunch and breakfast, but I'm talking about they share when they're going on holiday, where they're going on holiday, why they're going on holiday, and who they're going on holiday with. I mean, you talk about an invitation for lunacy, even.
But, you know, actually, I think that Facebook is a kind of abusing the human nature. Because we have a deep hunger for love. I mean, that's the way we are created by God. I mean, we are social beings, and we are hardwired for love, for relationship. And on Facebook, you can get a kind of attention. And I think that some people feel that attention nowadays, where people are so narcissistic and so self-centered, is a kind of love. That I can have attention. So that's why I put out everything about my life, so I can get some kind of reaction, some kind of response, so I can feel loved. But this is a kind of abuse, because there are no physical presence. There are no people I can talk to in person on Facebook. It's just artificial. And, you know, now I'm going to say something dirty, but it's almost like masturbating. I mean, it feels good, but it leaves you with an empty feeling, because there is nobody around you. There's nobody to hug. There's nobody to be with.
Now let's just think about that a moment. Hold on. I just want that to sink in a little bit. That's an interesting juxtaposition you put out there. Wow. For all you out there, you heard Miss Trenholm say that that's fascinating. That she gave a whole other word to the meaning of masturbation. And the fact that those of you who are enjoying that out there, like the 99.9999% out there who are enjoying that, that it gives you the empty feeling, not the relationship. Quite fascinating how you put that out there, even. I'm sorry to do that, but I couldn't.
So maybe now I'm going to be blocked from Facebook. Because
I don't know, but you won't be the first one. I've already been blocked from there, even, and I'm a good cat. I didn't do anything. They just don't like my politics.
Let's talk about that later on, because I think that is a huge problem.
Yeah, they don't like me.
So I mean, he wants to be like God, and he wants to decide what is good and what is evil and what is right and what is wrong. And that's really
dangerous. Let me say this, even as we throw over to Barbara here and get Barbara your thought here, I want to say, even here's the thing you picked up on already, and you're 100% right, as you most times are. Here's the thing. It's funny how Facebook says that, you know, they say, you know, friend. You know, so here, even before Facebook ever became Facebook, they got into a room and they figured this thing out, the model. What's our social media model look like? And they said, okay, well, let's call them friends. Well, if you look up at the definition of a friend, you know damn well that you're not really, these are online friends. What are they? They're people you don't even know. They're people you made a connection with. I mean, that doesn't exactly constitute a friend. So to use the word friend in the way of a friend, I mean, that's a bit of a stretch, Barbara McGee, is it not? I mean, friend? I mean, like, I got 25 new friends today. So, oh, wow, you are quite the cat. What does that really mean? It doesn't mean jack in my life, Barbara. What does it mean to you?
Well, you know, I you're absolutely right. I think that a lot of people really don't know the story about Facebook. And, you know, it started out being friends. That's what it was. And that was the actual start of it, when they were going from one campus. You know, you had heterosexual men that were going from one campus to the other, finding the greatest girls to make friends with so that they could date. And this went on and on, and it captured one campus after another, and it went off like wildfire. So that's really how it started, and then it changed its name, and it became more of a Facebook like what we know today. But that was in its inception. Now, yes, I do agree that there's a problem with Facebook. Now, even Malcolm and I, and a lot of the professionals that you hear on this platform of America Out Loud, we all use Facebook to create a business portal so that you can see more about us professionally. A lot of people out there listening, that's what you use Facebook for.
Right.
But let me tell you, as Facebook has grown, in our communities, what has happened is Facebook has become like the news. I mean,
people are treating it like the news, Barbara, but of course it's not.
About maybe, I'd say 9 months ago, let's say last summer.
Right.
Facebook was checking their authenticity. They were refuting if it was fake news. They were they came out with live Facebook Live, which allowed a lot of people who didn't have any other media outlet to use to show a lot of the injustices. And this was what had happened when we saw Mr. Castile murdered by the police officer with two children in the back of the car. I mean, we all watched that live
right.
on Facebook while it was going on. The interesting thing about Mark Zuckerberg is that after his meeting in Washington, D.C. With the president, you know, they stopped and now they monitor Facebook Live. So you don't necessarily see in real time injustices like you do before because it incensed the public.
Well, Barbara, so, here's a lot of things. There's a lot of lack of class on this social media. I'm going to call it a lack of class, okay? And there's a lack of civility for sure, but even just a lack of basin decency. And, you know, really there is. And, you know, it's like driving on a highway for those people who have to sit and stop their automobile and gawk at somebody who is struggling for their life with a car accident on the side of the road. That's a very sad moment to me. And, you know, I'm not one of those gawkers. I don't ever want to be in the way to, if I need to be a help to somebody, I'm happy to do that. That's a different animal here. But I'm not, you know, everybody, they gawk and, you know, they drive like, you know, 3 miles an hour by the accident. The highways get tied up and all because of some, you know, whatever, fender bender or somebody got hurt on the side of a road. That's the same thing I look at social media with. It's the same darn thing that you throw all these gruesome videos up of murder, mayhem and rape and things that were done on the flyer. Somebody took their camera out, their phone camera and captured it. They throw the video out there. How many likes can I get? How many new friends can I get? And how popular can I get? It really is a lot of deception out there, ladies. There's a lot of deception with all this. And it's really a rat race of bullshit is what it is.
Well, actually, Malcolm, with the Facebook Live,
yeah.
that is a feed that comes into Facebook
right.
that is actually going on. Yeah, you're right. People have shown different things.
But we shouldn't ever, number one, Barbara, we shouldn't profit and we shouldn't benefit by anybody else's misery. I'm against that.
Okay, well, what I'm for is exposing people that are in power doing the wrong thing at the right time.
Well, then let's talk about Facebook a moment, because you just brought up a great point.
That's exactly what's happening with Facebook.
Well, you're right. You're totally right.
That's what they're shutting down.
Well, listen, I'm going to talk about that with you and Eben right now, because I want to tell you right now, if I knew coming in today with Facebook, this was going to be a tough subject for me, because in full disclosure to you, Eben, and in full disclosure to you, Barbara, I cannot stand them. They are the worst social media on planet Earth. Now, I could say that again, or I could say it in slow motion for you, but it's not going to change. I can't stand them. They have thrown me off of their platform twice.
Why, Malcolm?
Twice.
Why?
They have, once about 3 years ago, well, they didn't like Malcolm Out Loud. They didn't like whatever our team was sharing. We had a massive group of followers all over this Facebook business. So here's what happened, even. So then they wanted all my background and identifications. We went through a period of 2 weeks sending them all our identifications, all of our background stuff from Malcolm Out Loud, debit cards with the number blocked off, and certificates and registrations and other things. I had all this proof that I was who I was. Well, then my IDs, and then they wanted my birth certificate even. This went over a period of about 2 or 3 weeks. And they wanted all this information to prove I was Malcolm Out Loud. Now, keep in mind, that's on every other social media we have. It's all over our sites. I'm a national radio commentator. I mean, you don't have to be a genius not to figure out that I am who I am. I'm like Popeye, you know, I am who I am.
You say something offensive?
Well, this is what everybody thought. This is what was said to me afterward. I can't tell you. They don't exactly send you a letter and say you said something offensive or we don't like your politics. That's not what they put in the letter. they say, you know, they say you didn't come to our standards. They send you a form letter, and then you can't reach them even. They're like the Oz and the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. They really don't exist. They're not there. We tried everything because we had such a large following down there. My people tried everything to reach these clowns, and they are non-reachable. We'd have had better chance of reaching a Martian than we had reaching these clowns. So we sent documentation to somebody else, and you know what they did, even? You know what they did? They pulled my entire site down. They shut us right off.
I can't believe that.
Right off.
Because you didn't say, I mean, you're not any kind of extremist or anything.
They shut me right down. But let me finish the story. Not only did they shut me right down, but let me go further with you. One quick second. And here's what happened. Fast forward, about a year and a half, 2 years later. Well, we're on every social media on the planet. And quite frankly, I love Twitter. I love Flipboard because it's educational, and I don't want to get into contests with people. I'm not interested in having a pissing contest with people. I want to put good stuff out there, and I don't want all this negative stuff. And I that's just not social media. I'm going to engage in people. I'm not interested. So I don't want Facebook anyways because they're all highly opinionated and they just want to have a contest with you. And it's just not my bag. I'm too busy. I've got life is being lived here. And, you know, and I'm not going to, and I respect people's opinions. I don't need to argue and debate and use 10 hours a day to debate everybody on the planet. It's a bunch of rubbish. And so what happened is about 2 years later, fast forward, one of our show hosts, Dr. Stem, I'll tell you who it is, Dr. Stem, who's on America Out Loud right now. She has her own show, the Dr. Stem Show. She says to me, Malcolm, we got to have a Facebook presence. I just love this Facebook and everything. So we got to get America Out Loud on there, but we got to get you on there, Malcolm Out Loud. I said, Barbara. I said, Dr. Stem, I've already been on there. I said, you see what they did to me about a couple of years ago? She said, oh, come on. She said, well, let me help you with it. I'll get it. We'll put it in your name. We'll do all of this, and I'll help you. Do you know she put it up in there? We put all the stuff in there. My name went on it again. All of this happened. We started putting it up there. In a period of 1 week, in a period of 3 days, we had, about 3,000 or 4,000, as they say, a.k.a. friends even on there, you know, quasi, whatever they call that, friends or connections, okay, on there. It was beautiful. We were getting people, like, all the time, from all over the world, even. It was, like, lovely. So we had all these connections, right? Dr. Stem was working it and some other people, and about 4 days later, and do you know, within 1 week, they shut me down again. They sent the letters, and they said, we want to see your birth certificate, and I told them to... They can kiss my you-know-what where the sun don't shine until the cows come over the moon. And they shut it. They pulled it right off the site again.
But don't you have any idea? I mean, because it must have been some content-related thing.
Well, there was nothing bad in content we put out there. I promise you that.
Malcolm.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, maybe Americans, because we have dumbed down. Let's face it. America has dumbed down.
Right.
Okay, so maybe they do go there for Facebook news or whatever. But do understand that your friends, like I have a lot of people that are friends of mine that are in the news, a lot of news anchors as a makeup artist. I've got maybe 15, 20 news anchors from CBS, NBC, ABC, who post real-time news. And that's what I mean when I say that you go there for news. It's not, you're not looking for Facebook news. You're looking for the friends that you know who would know.
The problem is a lot of that information is tainted and twisted. And it was proven in the last election. People that were going for Facebook for news are so out of the realm of normalcy and what's really happening in the world. Okay. It isn't funny, Barbara McGee.
All right, so let's talk about the danger that Mark Zuckerberg...
Well, let's do that right after the pause here. We'll let you come back and we'll talk about the danger of Mark Zuckerberg. Now we're getting juicy. Now we're talking my language. And I'm sure Barbara and Eben will have a lot to say about the dangers of Zuckerberg. Stay tuned for Chapter 2 in just a moment, friends. We'll be back with the great Barbara McGee and Eben Trenholm. Stay right there. We are one of the fastest growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We stand proudly with the men and women who serve in our armed forces and our law enforcement heroes. Thank you for being part of our family. And we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
Facebook, is it your new church? And there was a speech, let me segue right into the meat here. There was a speech by Mark Zuckerberg in a very interesting put together area of Chicago, where he spoke to people who had put together online communities. And the idea of him having now the following in Facebook of 2 billion people across the world here, he feels that there's a decline in various religions where people have to incorporate church. And according to his algorithms and his research, there was about 25% decline in people who had to sit through songs that they've sung for 100 years, and people that are doing these various, the naysayers that say you can't go out there and live your life as you please, you know, people that espouse to the Ten Commandments, and that Jesus perhaps is a genderifier. So he had a lot of interesting points to make. But what he really said was is that Facebook could be the new church because of the good that these online communities can create in a person's life. And giving them a sense of being a belonging, giving them a sense of purpose, and again, espousing to having, if you have a sick daughter or if you're sick yourself, you can create a community that can support you solely in that community. Eben, your thoughts on his actual statements?
Well, I have to mention one thing, and that is that Joseph Stalin, who ruled the Soviet Union, he would have loved Facebook. And I think that, it's not just a joke. I think it's actually true, because you can collect so much information about people. And I don't believe that Facebook has good intentions, so to say, because already we have seen how Mark Zuckerberg and his team, they want now to decide what is fake news, what is the truth, what is right, what is wrong, what is good and evil. And I think that's very dangerous. So they're trying to mimic God in a way. And, you know, that people should feel that they belong to a community. I mean, like Malcolm said before, I mean, these friends, I mean, it's people you have never even been speaking to. You don't even know them. You have never met them. So I think it, like I said before, it is a kind of abuse of the human nature, because we want to belong. We want to be loved. We want to be seen. We want to feel that we are alive. But this is just, you know, a fake thing. It's a fake thing.
Don't you think it's possible, even, they're using the word friend to get you to be comfortable so that you'll spill your guts? And, you know, you see people get on there, yeah, and they just spill their guts and like, oh, I'm going to talk to my friends now. Like you
but
just
what,
said.
You know, I think that in the beginning, Facebook is now just a feel-good place. But in the end, all this information you put out about yourself, is it can be used. You don't know what's going to happen in
exactly
one decade. So it means they have so much on you. So later on, like, that's why I said that thing with Joseph Stalin. Later on, I mean, people are just delivering all sorts of information about themselves. So in the end, you don't know, maybe some kind of secret service or whoever he is cooperating with, Google, or they're just monitoring every people. They're spying on all of us. So I mean, in the end, now when they talk about fake news and the truth and like that you were just not admitted to have your page for Malcolm Out Loud, it means that they want to control the world. They want to control people, and this is what it's all about. It's about control. It's not about community. It's about control. So they're going to present it, of course, as something that can give you a purpose in life and somewhere you can feel that you belong, just to lure you in. And then you don't know what kind of, you know, any kind of further abuse that will suddenly occur. So you know, every time I post something on Facebook, every time that I like something, I think about, okay, is this worth dying for if someday somebody is going to, you know, use this against me?
Yeah.
So sometimes I am just smart and say, okay, I don't want to go into this debate because this is not my field. And would I later on stand up for this if somebody suddenly wants to put me into court or imprison me or whatever is going to, or whatever is ahead
very
of us
well
in,
said,
in
even.
Our future.
Very well
so,
said.
So you really have to think about, is this worth dying for? Whenever you like something, whenever you post anything, because you don't know what they're going to use it for later on. And I don't trust these people. I don't trust these people.
All right, Eben, let me just say this. Let me comment to what you're saying. All right, so for me, I have like maybe 1,800 in all of my presences. I might have like a little about close to 2,000 friends. About maybe 700 of them I know. The rest of them I don't know. I don't really allow a lot of people that I don't know, but recently I've become involved with various different entities that require my, I'm a public figure, so I've got to be out there. So let's face it, that's what it is. But do know, audience, everything you put on any of these social medias, whether it's Facebook or not, you don't own it. It is now their content. And once it's their content, it is out there for everyone to see. But I will say this. Yes, we are monitored, but do you honestly believe that 800 or 2,000 people see your information? No. You got about 15 to 25 people that are receiving your information. That's it. So to think that you're putting something out there and so many people are listening, you only get that once you have a following. And your following is not only based off of your Facebook presence, but remember, I live in Los Angeles. And here, nobody uses Facebook. I mean, the elderly, I guess we're in that group. I'm elderly.
They don't use Facebook, Barbara? What do they use?
Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Which is owned by Facebook.
I see.
So Instagram is what they use. So if you have a high following on Instagram, then you're more likely to get a higher a presence on Facebook. And to your problem, Malcolm, I have one of my proteges that I worked with since she was in seventh grade. She's now a big wig at Facebook. And there was a big problem in San Francisco because a lot of the male impersonators who had large followings wanted to come on as Betty Boop or Pineapple, the Zineapple, or whatever, you know, but they had these code names, and these names were known to their audience, not their real name. They were stage names, if you will, their stage presence, like Malcolm Out Loud. And so that is the problem, because Facebook only wants you to use your real name, not your stage name. And this was a big debate in San Francisco about 3 years ago. And I believe you got caught up in that.
Yeah, you think I got caught up in that, Barbara?
I'm positive you did, because it was a big movement. I mean, it was a big I'm from San Francisco, and it was overwhelmingly amount of, you know, nobody really wanted to be involved with it because it was all men that were, impersonating women. But, you know, you might go.
Barbara, I didn't impersonate a woman. What are you talking about?
No, but what I'm saying is they had these names. These names that were like Penny Alley.
Right.
I can't even think of all of them, but there are several. Cinefer, you know, and then Malcolm Out Loud is also an antonym to the name.
Yeah,
of
they didn't
Malcolm
like the name. That's where it started. That's where it started.
I already know.
But then it was the content and the rest of it, and then they drove me. They put us through the ringer twice. But, you know, Facebook is, I think, even put it out there in a very interesting way to me. They're not really, they're not a community. I forget what word you used, Eben. You said something else, not a community, there's something else, but I want to call them not a community, but they're a cult.
And that's a good
they're
way
a bit of a cult
it.
To me, the Facebook cult. And I think that when you look at what they're doing and how they're doing it, for instance, let me give you an example. When you have a page with Facebook and you have a company page, just a page, Facebook's not free like they put out. It's free. That's a lot of rubbish. And back to your point a moment ago, Barbara, if you have a page and you have like 50,000 people that liked that page. So like when we had a page for our brand on Facebook that Dr. Stem helped us put up. Okay, got it? That page, we got all those people that can, you can't go get the people. They have to come and like you. when you're a corporate page. You follow me? You know? So they have to go like you. You can't get them. So fair enough. So we got all those thousands of people that liked us within the first 3 days of the existence of that page the second time around. And do you know what? Whenever you throw a post out or you do something else, the whole thing is rigged. They don't get it. They don't get it. They'll send it to and will say, you reached two people. You reached one person. You reached three or four people, at most three or four people. And then you know what else? You know what happens next?
Pay more.
What happens next is they got their hand on your wallet. And then they want money. And then what they want, and this is the truth. This is how it works, people. Facebook is not a free thing. And then they want money. And they say, okay, so if you want to now, they call it boost. Boost. That's the word they use, Barbara, boost. So
exactly.
you can boost your post. And you can get all kinds of people to see that post. And you just go ahead and drop some money in the little ching, ching, ching. And our little, what do they call it? The little usher, like in church, the usher's coming down. That's the usher, Eben. You'll love that. That's the usher coming down in church. Yeah. Collections, please. To 10% to the church. Oh yeah. Well, Facebook's looking for their 10%, and they got their little coin thing out there, and you have to spend money with them. So you have to drop, $100, $150, whatever you want to reach the people. So think about how sick that is. So here you spend all the time promoting a page that is supposed to mean something. And then talk about a business model. And then these people have to go like you. You can't go like them as an entity. We couldn't do that as the Out Loud entity. Doesn't work that way. They have to like, okay, fair. So we did that. We got all those people in. And even when you have them, you can't even reach them with a message. You can't even send to them a good morning message. Good morning. How are you all doing? God bless you. You can't do any of that.
That's
because
right.
They only reach two people. Then you got to think back. And I got sick over that. But I said, what the hell are you talking about? Two people.
Exactly. And online, a lot of these places that have started out being free eventually go
exactly.
and monetize us. And then they have our content. And listen to this. I'm sitting in church on Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. And if I don't turn my phone off, because, I make the mistake of having my Bible on my phone, and I make the mistake of having my Sabbath school lesson on my phone, so then I get these alerts, right? So in this alert comes the pastor of another church that I know that's probably on the pulpit right now, and guess what they say? They say, Pastor Keith so-and-so wants you to try this online gambling game.
Oh,
and they
my
do it
dear.
particularly while I'm in church and while he's
wow.
in church. Now get that.
Wow, wow, wow,
absolutely.
Wow.
So it's
well, I blocked all those things. I didn't want your games or your coins or your trinkets or your Rolos or your jackpots or whatever. And
right.
of course, I don't play the lottery, so whatever.
But now imagine now. Now they have this new thought of creating all these online communities. Now, certainly they're not going to charge them. They want to see how many people can put together these online communities, like plumbers, like beauticians, like this, like that. Now, they are not going to be charged to boost. They are encouraged to find more friends and more likes and all this. So to approach Facebook as a business is to make the mistake. To approach Facebook as friends of Malcolm is a much better opportunity.
Well, I've never used them in that sense. I have never used social media personally. As you said even moments ago, I've never used them to put personal photographs out. Or my personal life is private. I don't share that. I have no desire to share it. I'm not going to tell you what I had for breakfast and what's going on. It's just not important. And I'm not going to talk about the kids or put pictures of the family out there. I just think that's wrong. It's wrong of me. It's a violation of privacy. I'm not going to do that with the kids. I object to that. And I don't want all that out on social media. I've never liked it. And so that doesn't exist on me. So if there's a problem down the road, even as you suggest, and that something's going to happen, well, I got news for you. They're not going to have dirt on me in that sense, because I don't put that stuff out there. I'm not interested in doing that. I think it's a wrong deal, and I don't trust the authorities in place to begin with.
Well, I think it's very interesting that he went to Chicago, where he was talking about these online communities, where we as in the Black community understand fully that they're putting a stop to live police brutality scenes that are fed on Facebook. That we know that. So since we as a community understand that, it's very interesting. He went all the way to Chicago while his father was having heart surgery to speak, because Chicago is one of the biggest places where we have the most incidents and the most African-American death. Like in the weekends, it could be 40 or 50 people get shot or police brutality break out. It's happening. And without Facebook Live, with that being censored, it puts, there is no other, believe it or not, there is no other medium that African-Americans and brown people have to show the injustices that are being done to them by the police. So that's a very interesting point that I thought he made, that they're no longer interested in that. See? So,
Well, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm on a, we're going to stay on, I guess, this Facebook social media thing, but you start going down about brutality and all of that. Listen, I just for the record, I support our law enforcement, and our platform does.
I used to be married to a police officer.
Amen.
I never said I would, didn't support when I retire. I'm going to pull a police officer's retirement. I never said I didn't support police officers.
Yeah.
But just like I'm a celebrity makeup artist, there are bad celebrity makeup artists.
Oh, there's bad everything. I mean, that's just common sense, Barbara.
Absolutely.
That's just pure common sense. What does that mean? Then why do we want, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And so why make that an issue then?
Well,
why don't we make beauticians an issue? Well, I know a few. I know a few rough asses that are beauticians. Maybe we should make them a bad cat. Beauticians,
well,
they're not good.
What I'm saying is that as an African-American who's been pulled over, who's been profiled, you know, if I didn't have a Mercedes where I could have a third party listening, Facebook Live would have served my purpose. But since I had a third party listening in my car, at the police officers, when they recognized that, they had to back up.
Well, everybody today has a camera, first of all. I mean, they're taking photographs of everything. You're on a plane now, something happens, everybody's got their camera hot immediately.
They're more likely to pull out the camera than help you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. That's what society is. Well, it's breeding all this. They're gawkers, and they're just gawking everywhere, and they want everybody to see. And they also are looking for the lawsuit. I think even you have to admit that everybody's looking for a quick cash out because they want it to go viral. If you get the next big video, that could be your claim to fame. Even that's what they're thinking.
Exactly. No. That's why I say it is a kind of abuse of the human nature, because you can. Everybody wants to be seen. Everybody wants to be important. It's part of our love craving that we want to somebody to pay attention to us. It's so deep in us that we want to be loved. But we're not going to get loved by Facebook. We're probably going to be abused and perhaps even persecuted later on, because I think Facebook looks like it is a kind of community that serves you, but I think it's going to be a political tool later on, and that's
very,
what I
very
think.
Interesting said. Very interesting said. I'll tell you, it gives you really pause, friends, when you're out there and you're sharing this kind of information on social media, versus using it. You know, it's one thing when you use it to put good information out and you want to connect with like-minded people around the globe. I get that. And social media has its place. You take, like, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a fabulous community of really brilliant people around the planet. And we can get, like, phenomenal guests, enormously talented people on LinkedIn. I don't see a lot of that gossip and crime and other stuff on LinkedIn that you would, like, on Facebook. And so you meet very fascinating people on things like LinkedIn. Same thing with Twitter. You know, maybe because they can't tell people off in 140 characters as well. Maybe they need, you know, several hundred to tell them off. Really, though, people are so damn opinionated. And you know, we become a very uncivil society, ladies. And there's uncivility is ruling the day. And people just want to use all this for a means to tell you to where to get off and to go to hell. And they do it in a very vicious way. And there's no rhyme or reason to it. And it doesn't accomplish anything. And at the end of the day, what does it really accomplish? How does it, you know what you got to ask yourself? I want you to ask yourself this. Ask yourself this. When you share all this out there, all this personal stuff you're sharing, how does it improve your life? How does it improve your life? And or does it possibly put your life at risk, which is what Eben Tranholm have suggested a moment ago? Does it put your life at risk? Think about that. I think we're looking at George Orwell revisited here in the form of Zuckerberg and Facebook. And I'll say to you right now, I think it's part of Satan's camp. I think they are part of the evil in the world. And I'll put it right out there for you. Y'all can chew on that. I don't care if you like it or you don't like it. It's part of Satan's world. It's part of the devil's program. I'm not buying it. You can keep it. I don't want it. On that note, we're going to pause just a moment. We're going to be back with Barbara McGee and Eben Tranholm.
We're a new breed of talk radio with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio. Shows that impact your health, honor our heroes, political talk, shows that inspire you to live a truly authentic life. You can hear your favorite shows on networks like iHeartRadio or AHA Radio, or just download our free apps on both Android and Apple. But we are proud to have you as one of our growing family of listeners. We are the vision of the voices, AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, looking good and feeling good are not exactly the same thing. It's just like a car. It may look good from the outside, but what's the inside look like? More importantly than that, what's the inside of your cells look like? That's a question you need to ask yourself. Well, when I started taking Healthy Cell just a few months ago, it has changed my program. I mean, it's boosted my energy. I sleep better, sharper focus. I feel healthier, and hopefully we'll all live longer with improved cells. Well, 90-plus nutrients infused into every cell of your body. Well, this is an exclusive offer for Friends of America Out Loud. You can try it today free. When I say free, I mean free. It's our Healthy Cell Pro 7-Day Sample. Free shipping, no risk, no obligation, no credit card required. So this is a complimentary gift from America Out Loud. You can go to healthycell.com/outloudsample or just go to americaoutloud.com and click the large banner ad, and our complimentary gift will be on its way to your home.
Welcome back to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. I'm Eben Tranholm, and today I'm co-hosted by Barbara McGee and, of course, the one and only Malcolm. We're talking about Facebook because Mark Zuckerberg said that it could be our new church. And the more we look into this, the more horrifying it's actually getting. And I would say that one of my worst fears about Facebook is that it's going to dehumanize us. It means that we are not, it actually takes away our ability to have real relationships, because we get more and more superficial. I mean, the way we connect with other people, the way we relate with other people is just some kind of virtual thing. And I think there is a lot of hatred, there is a lot of anger on social media and on Facebook. I am a debater myself and a public figure, so I get a lot of, you know, comments. And I'm used to that because it's my profession. But I also know from young people, they're very vulnerable. And there are all these kind of Facebook abuses going on, and also, you know, naked photos and all sorts of things. So I think actually it takes us away from real love, how we interact with other people, because it's so easy on Facebook just to say something really nasty and be very angry and very hateful. So I think it actually dehumanizes us. And that's part of, I think, if we're talking about kind of political tool, you said before, Malcolm, that this was the work of Satan. Right. This is exactly what Satan wants. He wants to dehumanize
us. Well, like you said, Stalin would use this. Stalin would, this
yes,
would have been a...
Yes. Yeah. But absolutely. Because, of course, Stalin wants to know everything about human beings and all about their actions. And,
yeah, this is George, you know, Orwell watching you. This is Uncle
exactly.
Sam.
But
this
is, you know. I think one of Satan's plans is also to make us completely unable to have love relationships, to be in love, because this is part of God's plan that we should be united in love. And Facebook is doing exactly the opposite. Of course, you can get friends, but there is a lot of, you know, disagreements, a lot of confrontations.
It does nothing
hatred,
for civility. Does
no,
nothing
it
for civility.
It actually breaks down community. Exactly. It's actually breaking us down, and it enables us to have real relationships full of love and tenderness and what is normal for human beings. So it makes us more cynical, actually. And this is what I'm also afraid of. Yeah,
very well said, Eben. Very well said. And I got to tell you, I want to ask everyone out there, all of our listeners, I want to speak to you direct. Well, just one-on-one, just me and you right now that are listening. And I just want to say to you, just be real careful, please, what you put out there. I'm a little concerned with it. Yeah. Just be real careful. Now, listen, use social media to spread good vibes. Absolutely. You want to put information out there and share information and make great connections around the world? Absolutely. Absolutely. I've met some really great people. In fact, some of the co-hosts on this show are because of social media. I mean, not Facebook, because, you know, that's not the kind of group we're hanging with. But certainly on Twitter and LinkedIn, I've met some awesome people that have become co-hosts for this show. Make no mistake about it. So it's not that I'm opposed to social media. I think social media has its place. And I think I'm going to suggest that maybe both of you might agree with part of what I'm saying, with the fact that, you know, social media has its place. But what I want to say to you is be very, very, very careful what you put out there on a personal level. Information of any kind, information about your children, information about your family, information about your holiday, and you're going on holiday somewhere, information about your privacy, your home, things you wouldn't even think about, that you might just make some comment. You know, I'm going to put that out on social media. I'd be really, really careful. The other thing I want to ask you to do is, you know, we can all do our part in the world with making it, with working on civility in a very positive way. You know, I think we can do a better job as people, as a human being. I think we can all do a better job. That's my message. That's my platform. That's what America Out Loud is all about. Let the silent voices be heard at the top of our platform. There's a reason I say that. That's why you're hearing us here today and all of the cool people that are part of this network. But I want to say to you, just be careful what you put out on there. And you know what? Spread the love, spread the good, spread the word of God out there, spread all the good stuff out there in the world. You know that? That's what we got to fight it all with. I think you know what I'm talking about, friends. I think you know what I mean. That's what you use this media for. That's what I use it for. I connect with brilliant people every day. I'm all over that. In fact, I invite you now to connect with me on Twitter or LinkedIn. No problem. Don't find me on Facebook, kids. I don't do the devil's work.
Well, I just feel that, as Eben said, that instead of striving to have better online presences and communities and all this sort of thing that the world is doing, right, I think we all need to call five people that we know. I'm making this a personal statement. Myself, I'm challenging everybody within my voice. Pick up the phone. Call 10 people this week that you know and make a personal connection with them. Go through
this. Yes, actually, that's well said.
And now you're talking my language, because, Barbara, you're right. We agree with you. I value person-to-person relationship. I value, in fact, it's always been my value to sit with somebody and look in their eyes. I'm a contact person. I'm a people person. I'm a relationship person. I'm the kind of cat that, you know, I can sit down and talk to anybody. And that's a gift I got from my mom. My mom was brilliant that way. She could talk to the mayor, the pope, the president, or the homeless man pushing a carriage, or the guy that owns Pete's Body Shop. She just had that knack to be able to talk to and relate to people, you know? And I got that from mom because she was so relatable as a person. And I just knew that as a kid, that you treat people well and you treat them the way you want to be treated. And it's kind of why I've got dear, dear friends that are whatever they do in life. I mean, it doesn't matter to me whether they are a server in a restaurant, whether they do whatever, the auto mechanic or something else, or they're a military guy or a high distinguished professor. What they do in their living or what they choose doesn't make the person. The person is the person because they are who they are. So listen, I think we need to respect everybody, Barbara. I agree with that. And I think there is something that's lost today with the human touch, Barbara. The face-to-face, the eye-to-eye.
That's right.
And that's why social media is a coward's game. And quite frankly, cowards use, you know what they do? They use social media, they use text, and they use emails to tell the world off, but they would never do it to your face or eye-to-eye because they're cowards.
Yes.
Cowards love these forms of media. I mean, they're in love with this stuff. Because they can get on there and they can act like a real dickhead in amount of seconds. You understand?
Right. And then, you know what? Not to interrupt, but, you know, you see the same flurry of anger in this road rage. I mean, I live in L.A. and we've got such a pitch of road rage going on. And it's because people have not mastered. We've got a generation of people who have not mastered being able to communicate and scale down an issue.
And you know what, Barbara, the other day I'm driving and I let somebody out in front of me and they kept waving back to me and waving, and I stopped the car and waved to them, and it was like a blessed moment of humanity. You know, you talk about bonding in the middle of an intersection, you know what I'm saying, huh?
Right, exactly. I always use, now you know what, this is a dying art. Even I use my hand signals, you know? I mean, who even knows how to use a hand signal?
Oh, they know how to use hand signals. It's the middle finger one they're using, Barbara.
Well, I use my hand signals, so I've got my real signals on. That's the law. But I also,
they're using hand signals far too often, young lady. I'm telling you, I see it.
I use my hand signals because I, as a common courtesy, in case you didn't catch the first one, now you see my hand up, you know we got to stop right now. My car is going to do it.
This really nice, sweet person, this lady, really, really ripping mad. And she took her hand, and I was driving with her. And I was a passenger. She was driving somewhere, and she took her hand, and she put it up in the air, and she started moving it around like, you can't see my hand right now, but it's moving around like all these five fingers are moving, just in the middle of the air, like I'm doing right now, okay? And I said, what are you doing? She was doing it to some driver or something. I said, what are you doing? I said, I don't understand. She looks back to me, she says, and she puts up her middle finger. Somebody had cut her off and did something bad. She puts up her middle finger to me. She said, that's a whole bunch of these.
Oh.
That was her sweet way of saying she was telling them off without saying that.
Oh, so sad.
I said, well, that's, I got to try that one. Now, the good thing about that is you won't get road rage because they don't know what you're doing. You know what? You're better off. You know what I say? You're better off to move on your way. In fact, you know something? I did an article a little time back here about social media is the new road rage.
Yes, absolutely.
I did a whole piece on it, ladies. And I really did, because I seen it coming some years ago. I did about three years ago, I don't know. And it was a really good piece. And it was social media is the new road rage. And it means that people are, they're jacked up. They're really enraged and engaged, and they're enraged. They're sort of, you know, the terror's in their eyes, and there's this incivility that exists in so many, and they just want to, you know, have a little passion. We all need to have a little compassion for our fellow human being. You know, the other thing is you don't know what they're going through in their life. Unless you walk in somebody's shoes, how could you possibly know? I always have compassion for people. When you tell me something, I take it for the face value of what it is, and I would have compassion about that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I never know, or you never know, what's really going on in our lives. In other words, the challenges we have as a person. I mean, life is unpredictable. There's a lot of highs, there's a lot of lows, there's a lot of unpredictability, but that's what life is supposed to be, you see? Yeah? And it's how but you know what I think the true measure of life is going to be, ladies? I think it's this. I think for those of us who can handle the valleys and the dips and those moments with the grace, the utmost grace, I think those are the ones who are going to win. That make any sense?
Do you know the saying that goes like this, be kind. Everybody you meet is fighting a hard battle. And I think that's true. I mean, what you said about compassion, we're all fighting some kind of battle. So you don't know what's going on in people's life.
We really are. We're all fighting a battle, whatever that battle may be. And we don't always know. But what you don't want to do, you don't want to share that battle on social media in the community and then begin to get really unwound with it, I guess. I think what I'm saying is, if we would all just take a moment and all work toward positive energy. In fact, I will tell you, every weekend, one of our weekly columnists at America Out Loud, Therese Tapponi, if you haven't read her pieces, and I don't know if you've ever read her even, she's on America Out Loud, phenomenal writer, and she writes a piece every week about energy and how we need to use energy for the greater good in all of us and in life. She's been with me for a little bit, but now she's a weekly columnist at America Out Loud, and she does these awesome pieces on energy. Now, these are worth saving, and these are worth sharing on social media. These are definitely worth sharing on Twitter, LinkedIn, and you can even share these on Satan's platform, Facebook, if you want. No problem there also, because you got to put the good word out there, and this is the good word. And so you can share them on Satan's network. It's okay. It's all right. We don't have a problem with that. I'm not changing my opinion, Barbara. I know you've got friends in high places there, but I don't really care. That I still have my opinion. You got your opinion. That's what makes the world go round, right? It's okay.
Well, I never said.
All right. That, I still. I'm not going to change my opinion because they put me through the ringer twice, and I don't like what they do, and I don't like what they've done with the conservative agenda either. I don't like the way they've manipulated their timelines and their funny business and the rest of it. I don't see a lot of good coming out of there. I don't see what that boy is doing or what they're doing over there. I just get a feeling. I get a bad gut feeling that what they're about is money and greed. That's what I get a feeling about.
Okay, well, let me just say this in closing. I just want all of our listeners to be aware that the media, the internet is the devil. And every platform on it has the potential to suck you.
Well, the potential is there. The potential is there. No doubt about it.
To take you away from your innate purpose to being alive.
Right.
And why you are here. And if you could imagine not having any electricity and not having any internet, who would you be? Because that is who you are.
Right.
And God has given you everything you need to be successful just within that. The rest of this is extra.
Right. That is so true that it takes people away from, you know, knowing who they are and what is the purpose of life, because they're just getting, you know, completely absorbed in this kind of entertainment or virtual relationship that really takes them away from life. It's so true.
It does. We cover a lot of opinions, a lot of diverse thoughts and opinions. I think that's what makes the world go around, friends. It really is. America Out Loud, we love you out there. We love you being part of this thing. And what we're doing over there is really, truly unique. Let the silent voices be heard. We invite you every day here. We're on our march to 100 shows on life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. And we are coming very close now with season one. And then we will repeat and we will run the season one again. But we are closing in on 100 now. So stay close to us. We've got some special announcements and things just ahead. Some very unique programming in the next few weeks as we begin to tie this all together. An incredible body of work. Incredible women on this platform. Please, when you go to AmericaOutloud.com, please do not forget to go to the Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure show page. It's right off the main nav where it says shows up there. Just go there to that page and look at the extraordinary women on the platform. Look at their websites and what they're doing. They are just highly accomplished and really extraordinary people. And we're just, the show has been such a big success because of everybody who's put so much into it. So we thank you for being part always of this journey here. If you got some thoughts and ideas on this production, or we're also looking for 10 extraordinary women for season 2, which launches in November 2017. Please connect up with us. talk@AmericaOutloud.com. Eben Trenholm, Barbara McGee. This is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.